Today's presenter is Vinod Balacha. Vinod is a developer in the IBM India Support Software Lab. He is currently working in development and customer support for the IBM WebSphere Cast Iron and WebSphere adapters. He has over 5 years of experience working with various Java technologies, including Java Connector Architecture, JCA. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Vinod.
Thanks, Kathy. So, as Kathy said, I have been working with the Cast Iron team over here in India into development and level 3 support. Today's presentation, we'll be looking into WebSphere Cast Iron cloud integration. Can we move to next slide, Kathy? Yeah. So, we will look into the overview of what Cast Iron is and why it's needed, what it does, and then we will see what all endpoints it supports, what are the integration scenarios wherein you could think of using it, and how exactly those things get used. We will also see different form factors that are available for Cast Iron. We will see some of the use cases that have been used in the past and that have been very beneficial. We will see what is TIPS in context of Cast Iron, and then we will have a demo wherein I will explain the nitty-gritties of creating the orchestration, and it will basically contain an end-to-end flow so that people who have never developed orchestration, it will be very good for them, and also people who have basic knowledge about Cast Iron, even it will be beneficial for those in order to develop complex flows. And then finally, we will have the question and answer session. Can we move to next slide, Kathy? Yeah. So recently, we have seen of late the world is moving towards cloud computing. All the divisions are getting impacted because of this, whether it's your marketing, sales, or supply chain, finance. All of these have been moving towards cloud. So this is creating a challenge in the IT organization. Because of this movement, there are disparate different sources of data that are getting created. So this cloud computing does provide enough of the advantages for the traditional computing, for example, low-cost solutions. So you pay as you go, reduction in your IT resources, so you have everything on the cloud and things like that. But when you think in terms of the integration point of view, it brings in a requirement wherein you will have to integrate this desperate different sources of information. So this becomes a challenge in a hybrid architecture. So you may have some of your data on-premise, while some of your solutions may be SaaS applications. And then there is a business requirement wherein you need to integrate data from your SaaS application to your on-premise application or vice versa. So there's a challenge, because then it becomes a hybrid architecture. So, for example, you may have a SAP ERP as an on-premise solution, and you may have a Salesforce as a SaaS application. And then since you have done this, since the movement to Salesforce has been recent, you don't have all the data on your Salesforce application. So some of your data also resides in your SAP application, for example, a PeopleSoft application. So in a business practical business scenario, you see that there is a lot of movement between these different sources of data. So integrating these different sources of data becomes a challenge, because there you may the options available for you are, you may go for a custom application that may sync your data between on-premise application and a cloud application, but then that is not a foolproof solution. Having a custom application will, each time you have a different set of data, you will have to write its corresponding custom application. So that is not a foolproof solution. So having a solution over there in the integration space is a challenge. And this is the place wherein Kastan comes in. So it bridges the gap between the on-premise your on-premise existing solutions and your new cloud solutions. So if you have SAP or a JDE application running on-premise and you have a Salesforce application running on cloud, it bridges the gap of this connectivity. So it provides you a solution wherein you can integrate your cloud applications with the on-premise applications. You can also integrate your cloud applications with other cloud applications. So, for example, you may have some of your data in Zora application and some of your data in Salesforce application. So, using Kastan, you could integrate these different cloud solutions, cloud applications. And also, it provides you option to perform on-premise to on-premise integration. So, for example, you could, if you have a SAP application, and for example, you have a DB2 database, and you want to sync up data between the SAP and DB2 database, you can even do that on-premise to on-premise integration. So, all these three options are available with Kastan: cloud to cloud integration, cloud to on-premise integration, and on-premise to on-premise integration. So slide number 3 talks about the same. It shows the different data sources that have come up due to this recent migration of companies towards cloud, and how Kastan fits in, and it bridges the gap between this integration. Moving on to slide number 4. So, when we talk about bridging the gap between the integration, in the real world scenario, we see that there are different data sources. So, rather than using the term data sources, I will use the term endpoint. So, we see these disparate different endpoints that are there. So, some of your applications are on People, some are there on, for example, PeopleSoft, while some of them are on cloud. You may have it on Salesforce or Azure or Zora. So, there are different endpoints that are there, and integration will maximize your value for the cloud investment. So, If you have some functionality which is there in your cloud application and you don't have it on premise, using the Kastan integration, you could easily use that part that is present in the cloud application. So all these different data endpoints, you can easily integrate these endpoints using Kastan. So this slide just shows what all different endpoints that are available and that are frequently used by different enterprises and that are the prominent player in the market. Moving on to slide number 5. So slide number 5 talks about the different integration scenarios wherein data handling by Kastan will be prime importance to the customer. So one scenario is wherein you have to migrate your data. So so for example, you have your entire data in a SAP application and you have been using it for years, and now you decide that you need to move to, for example, Salesforce. So now this you have to migrate the data that is there in your existing ERP solution that is on-premise to your cloud solution. So Kastan provides you the functionality wherein you can use this approach of data integration and move your entire data from your on-premise solution to the cloud solution. So one such scenario is a data migration. So that is the point number one. Second is when you need to perform data synchronization. So for example, you have your data in Salesforce, okay, and your business use case is to synchronize the data between a Salesforce application to a database application. So each invoice that is generated on your Salesforce application, you want a corresponding entry to be created in your DB2 database, for example. So in this scenario, you could very easily synchronize the data using having Kastan as an intermediary layer. So Kastan will take care of each entry that is created in a Salesforce invoice business object. The corresponding entry will be reflected as a row in a DB2 database. So Kastan will perform that synchronization of data between a cloud application and an on-premise application. Or it could also be data synchronization between two cloud applications. So, for example, each entry that gets created in a Zora business object, you want it to be synchronized to a corresponding generation of invoice in a Salesforce application. So even that data synchronization can happen between cloud application to another cloud application. Also, you can synchronize the data between two on-premise applications. So if you have a SAP enterprise and SAP system and you want to synchronize data between SAP and Siebel application, Kastan can do that. So that is point number 2 about data synchronization. Point 3 is about how you can use how it provides you the functionality of using the mashups. So we see that, so this is in fact one of the very key feature or very key functionality that is often used. So we see that the data that is there in these different sources, it comes together and it gets displayed in the user interface of a single application. So Kastan mashes up that data to present a single unified view to the user. So without placing this data in different sources, so it gives you a very good a unified view to observe the data from this different sources. So this is point number 3 about how it provides the user interfaces mashups. Moving on to next slide, slide number 6. Yeah. So this was about in previous slides we saw what all are the integration scenarios. this slide also talks about the scenario, but it talks about in more in the questionnaire form as to what decides for you to opt for a cast iron solution. So the first question is, do you have a rapid point-to-point application integration need at any of your corporate or subsidiaries? So it is often seen that the data that is stored in the data sources between the subsidiaries is often different. So for a corporation, one subsidiary may have the data and may have a SAP solution, while the other may use a PeopleSoft solution or a Siebel solution. So is there a requirement for you to do this integration? The second is, do you have a need to connect public clouds with your on-premise application? So do you have a need wherein your data resides either in Salesforce.com or in Zora or in RightNow? In these cloud solutions, and you also have your on-premise solutions, for example, SAP or JDE or similar ERPs. So if you have a need to integrate these cloud and on-premise applications, this is the second question. If it is there, you could go for the cast iron integration. The third is, do you have a need to connect private clouds with the on-premise applications? So do you have any of your private clouds and your on-premise applications that you want to integrate? If this is one of your requirements, then you could go for the cast iron solution. So look for simple application integration projects where speed of implementation is a must. So as I said in the beginning, cast iron provides the capability wherein you could make your project live in a very short time. So you could. The other option is also to write your custom code, but that is a very that will take a lot of time. It will probably take months for you to make a project live. But in cast iron, the amount of time it takes is very less. So you could make a project live in a very faster way, in a very short duration. So cast iron uses something called as it doesn't use coding approach. So that is no coding approach it uses, and everything is drag and drop. So in the demo, actually, I will show you how the drag and drop approach is used and the orchestration is created. At this point of time, this slide only highlights that the solution that cast iron provides is in a very less time. So if there is a requirement wherein the project has to be live in a very short duration of time, this is the best possible solution that you have. Moving on to slide number 7. Yeah. So slide number 7 talks about in detail as to different components of cast iron. So you can see in the slide, there is cast iron studio that is there on the left hand side, left hand bottom. You can see cast iron studio is there. So the orchestration or the entire flow is created by the user in the cast iron studio. So cast iron studio is basically a kind of a user interface that is provided. So you can build integration flows in the studio with this interface. So this studio is installed at the client side. At the client side, the studio is installed, and you can have all your endpoints and data transformation components and everything configured in the cast iron studio. So the entire project is built in the cast iron studio. And the project will contain all the assets that are required for the created orchestration to run. It will contain all your file schemas, digital files, functions, and everything will be there in the project. It also gives you different connectivity options. So it lists the different data sources that you could connect to, and also within a particular data source. So for example, SAP, you will have all the different activities that you can perform. So whether you can create a record, or you could delete a record, or you could update a record. So all those different operations that you could perform on a particular data source are listed under activities. So in the demo, I will exactly show you where activities are listed and how exactly to use those activities. Okay. Within the diagram, you can also see there is something called as Webcast Studio. So Webcast Studio is similar to the CastTime Studio. Only it is it's a live studio, so you could log in via browser, and you could whatever functions you are able to perform in your installed studio on your machine, you could perform all those same functions on a web studio. So it is Web Management Console (WMC). So it's basically a browser-based interface, wherein you can perform the same operations. Okay. The other thing in this is once your orchestration is created, so you have your entire flow ready, Studio also provides you a unit testing environment, so you can unit test your orchestration whether it's working or not in the Studio itself. So it provides you a runtime environment there itself called as Maestro. So before publishing your application, you can it provides you the functionality to unit test it, to basically test it and confirm it's working, and then you could publish. So the arrow that you are seeing in the slide, it's basically for the publication of your created orchestration onto the appliance. So either you can so it provides you the functionality to either you can publish your project that you have created on an integration appliance, or you can it also provides CastTime also provides you the functionality wherein you can directly go and publish and deploy your project on a cloud environment. So you can publish it on the appliance. So appliance is nothing but it's the runtime part that will take care of running your orchestration and interacting with the different data sources, and basically to execute the flow that you have created in Studio. So that is provided by the integration appliance. Towards the right side bottom, you could see there is also management of integration appliance through web browser. So through the browser, you can actually operate the your orchestration that you have deployed on the integration appliance. So you can see what is the how much is the amount of CPU that is used by the orchestration, or how much is the memory current memory allocation that is done to a particular orchestration, and how much is used by the orchestrations, and what is the time taken by the job, by your orchestration job. So all these different activities that are related to your performance parameters, you can see that. You can manage those from the web browser. So this is in little more detail as to how the overall scenario works, from creating orchestration to finally deploying it on a appliance or on a cloud. Moving on to next slide, slide number 8. Yeah. So CastTime comes in this different form factors. It provides you the flexibility to deploy your orchestrations to the different form factors. So it provides you three form factors: CastTime Live, IBM WebSphere CastTime Live, or IBM WebSphere Data Power CastTime Appliance, also called as Physical Appliance. And the third one is the Hypervisor Edition, IBM WebSphere CastTime Hypervisor Edition. So the the physical appliance, that is the data power cast iron appliance, it already has the IBM hardware, and the while the hypervisor edition is a virtualized one, so you can use other hardware as well in that. It provides you a virtualization that is used. In case of cast iron Lite, there is no limitation on the hardware because that is handled by IBM. So it will have its own hardware and it will get deployed over there. So it will act as a SaaS model in case of cast iron Lite. So these are the different different form factors that it provides you. So based on your requirement and your suitability, if you want to use your hardware, you are more comfortable with the using your hardware and using the virtualization provided by IBM, you can go for the cast iron hypervisor edition. If you want to have the entire box, you can go for the physical appliance, that is a data power cast iron one. And if you want to have the actual cloud experience of multi-tenant cloud applications, you can go for the cast iron Lite. So therein it will have multi-tenant cloud applications, wherein different tenants will have their orchestrations deployed on the on the cloud. So that is available through the cast iron Lite. In terms of the functionality, each of these form factors will provide will execute the orchestration in the same way. So there won't be a difference in that. However, the difference is what I said earlier about the hardware part and the virtualization and the actual multi-tenant cloud application. So based on your requirement, you could the client should select the corresponding form factor. Moving on to slide number 9. So slide number 9 talks about integration scenario that happened in the past between the Salesforce and between these different on-premise solutions. So a client wanted to integrate their Salesforce solution with the with their already existing on-premise solutions. So they were already having this different SAP, JDE, and other various flat file applications, and they then selected Salesforce.com as their CRM platform, and they wanted to the goal for them was to having this diverse systems resulting into different silos of information. And finally, to integrate these. So this was a challenge for them, to integrate from these disparate sources. And they used the cast iron solution, and they were able to perform this Salesforce.com integration with the existing on-premise SAP, JDE, and other stack files with a very less time. So in fact, they were able to do this only in 10 days of time. So this is one such scenario where they were able to do this integration in very less time because of the cast iron's no coding approach. So this is one such case. Moving on to slide number 10. Yeah, so this is another scenario wherein a pharmaceutical distributor they replaced their traditional systems with the Salesforce one at their CRP system. And in this scenario also, the challenge was to empower all the CSRs with the real-time information in the Salesforce.com. So the customer experience that they were delivering was from the Salesforce.com. So they wanted all this data which is there in different sources, for example, data warehouse or their e-commerce system. They wanted this data to be synchronized with their Salesforce system in real time so that they are able to deliver a superior customer experience. So in this this solution provides the CRR with information about accounts payable and invoices and other things. So these things were delivered, and already existing information in these different disparate sources was synchronized with the Salesforce.com cloud application. So even the scenario customer was able to integrate very quickly. So this is another use case that we have seen in the past, wherein the integration happened very quickly. Moving on to slide number 11. Yeah. So one more reason why the integration happens very quickly in Kastan is because of the concept called as TIPS, so Template Integration Project. So Kastan offers something called as TIP, which is a pre-built template for customers to use. So we see that there are some specific or some typical use case scenario that many customers have used in past. So, for example, integration between Salesforce.com and an on-premise SAP solution is a very typical integration scenario. So what Kastan offers is it offers this these typical integration scenarios as a pre-built template called as TIP. So customers can download this TIP and they can immediately use the integration scenario. So they do not require to build their orchestration from the scratch. So they can download this pre-built template. They can provide the values for their endpoints. So in case of Salesforce.com to SAP integration, if we consider this case, customer will have to provide their Salesforce.com details, connection details, username, password, and things like that. And on the SAP side, they will also have to provide the SAP connection parameters, so username, password, port number, and things like that. So once they download the tape and they provide this endpoint information, customers are good to go. So they can directly use the pre-built tip, and they could directly use it for their scenario, and they can also build on top of this tip. So, for example, they want to integrate Salesforce.com to SAP, and after that integration, they also want to perform something. They want to perform some operation on the on-premise side. So, for example, they want to perform SAP to DB2 operation. Okay, so if we consider an example, when an invoice is created at the Salesforce side, they want to create the same invoice in SAP application, and also they want to create a corresponding entry into the DB2 database. So what customer can do is they can download this template which provides them Salesforce.com to SAP integration, and then they could add the DB2 endpoint to complete their orchestration. So they can also leverage on top of the existing tips. That is what I am trying to say through this example. So there are currently IBM provides currently over hundreds of tips. So there is a feature wherein you can go and actually search for your tip. You could provide the keywords for. So if you are looking tips around SAP integration, you can just type in SAP as it is shown in the current slide, and it will show you all the tips that are available for SAP integration. So if you see the current slide, it is showing SAP to Sugar RCM, to to Salesforce and to all these different endpoints. So you can search through the available tips, and you can directly, instead of starting your orchestration from scratch, you can use the already existing tips. So this is one very important feature that Kafka provides, called a template integration project. Moving on to slide number 12. Okay, so now I will show you how cloud and on-premise application integration can be done. So I have just shared my screen. What you see currently on the screen is the Kafka Studio environment. So it provides you all these different different options. So so today we'll be seeing how you can perform integration from a CSV data to a Salesforce application. How you can perform a on-premise CSV file. How you can pick data from an on-premise CSV file that is residing on an FTP server. You can pick that record and how you can create the corresponding entry in a Salesforce side. So this is the demonstration that I'll be showing it to you. So currently what you are seeing is the studio environment. I'll just start the demo. And in between, wherever I will have to explain in detail, I will pause the demo over there so that the audience will understand it more better. Okay. So what we are doing over here is we are first creating the orchestration. So we have clicked on new orchestration, and we'll provide a suitable name to that orchestration. So CSV to Salesforce is the name that we provide to the orchestration. Okay. And now this panel that you are seeing is the activities panel. So as I said earlier, different endpoints that are supported by Kafka are displayed over here. And inside each of the endpoints, what are different operations that endpoint supports? Those operations are called as activities in terms of Kafka nomenclature. And all those activities, so if you expand a particular endpoint, you will see different activities that are supported by the corresponding endpoint. So here we will drag and drop the receive request activity of the HTTP endpoint, HTTP connector. So basically this receive request activity we'll be using in the orchestration to receive the input from the user. So we require input from the user to tell the orchestration which particular file it has to locate, from which particular CSV file it has to get that corresponding CSV entry. So that input will be taken by the orchestration through this HTTP receive request activity. So this flow is just showing you how it has configured this HTTP receive request activity. So we have just configured the resource URL, that is HTTP send, and it has checked the requires a reply. So whenever the operation is completed, it will finally send the reply. Okay. Now this is something that Kafka supports. You could copy parameters. You can create variables. So you can pass variable information from one activity to another activity via the variables, from one parameter to another parameter via something called as variables in the Kafka. So it's creating this body variable over here. So whatever will be passed to this body over here in the HTTP receive activity, this is mapped to the body variable over here. So the file name will be passed to the body, and then the corresponding file name can be used from the body from the body variable over here. Okay. So now we are done with the HTTP receive request configuration. Now we will be configuring the FTP site. So our CSV file resides in on the FTP location. So the next step is to configure the to drag and drop the FTP activity and configure the corresponding CSV directory. So it expands the FTP, drags and drops the get file activity. So get file activity basically gets a file from the FTP location. It is configuring the endpoint over here, providing the hostname IP and the username password. And it also provides you a functionality to test your connection. So each endpoint that you create in Castan Studio will provide you this functionality to test your connection so that you are sure that the endpoint parameters or the connection parameters that you have provided are correct. So once you see this window, you have successfully connected to the endpoint, means your connection parameters are correct and you can proceed further safely. So we have configured the FTP endpoint. Now it will configure the directory wherein the file is located. So demo underscore SFDC is the location where the file is included. Now what it is doing is it is mapping the body variable that we had created in the previous step, in our receive request step, to the file name input parameter over here. So get file has got an input parameter called a file name. So it accepts the file name as an input, and we are mapping whatever will be received in the receive request activity to the file name over here. File name input parameter. So this mapping is done. Now again in the output parameter, the data variable is created. So whatever data we get from that file is mapped to this new created data variable. Okay. So once we get the data, we will have to transform the data, and that transformation should happen based on the schema. So we have the customer schema over here, which tells us what that data is, how it is, and we are mapping the data to this newly created data one. And we are mapping the customer. So here we are mapping the customer data type that we have, which contains all these fields, to a newly created XML variable, which will have the same structure. But this will be the mapping so that we can use it in our next step, next activity. So now we are done with the data part on the on-premise side. We connected to the FTP using the get file. We got the file, we got the data, and also we use the read flat file activity in order to map the data correctly into an XML. Now we will proceed to the Salesforce part of the orchestration. So we will drag and drop the Salesforce activity, that is a create object activity, which creates the corresponding object. And now here we will pick the corresponding endpoint on which we need to perform the operation. Clicking browse will fetch us all the corresponding object types that are available on the Salesforce.com location. Okay, so it has got all these account contact, role, additional number, all these different objects it has fetched us. And now we will select account as a object on which the operation has to be performed. Again, we'll click map inputs and we will select the XML variable that was created in the previous step. And now this is the most important step wherein the actual integration happens. So this step will map the customer data that we received in the previous step to the account fields that are there on the Salesforce side. So it's mapping the first name with the name, role with the type. So this mapping will happen. And while doing this mapping, we should we should remember that we are mapping the data, we are mapping correct data types on the left hand side to the right hand side. It should not happen that we are mapping a number with a string or something, or a string with a number. So this mismatch should not happen. It should be of the same type. So all these different fields that we got from the CSV file are getting mapped to the account object on the Salesforce side. Okay. So now this mapping is done, and what we have done is whatever result we will get post creation of the Salesforce object, we have it in the results. So in this results form. So the next step is to write the XML. So whatever result that we will be getting, we will be writing that into an XML. So we will just map the results to the XML type over here. And the XML text will be mapped to a newly created object, newly created a variable XML type. Okay. So once we have this thing done, we will now have the send response. So we had receive request wherein we accepted the request, and now based on all these things, whatever will be the result will be sent back to the HTTP receive request in order to show whether the creation of the object at the Salesforce side was successful or not. So we will just map the XML text that we have received from the create object. So create object gave us some text that was either success or failure. That text is basically status of the operation. And now we are mapping that text to the corresponding to the body. So that body will be returned as a response. Okay. And now after creation of the orchestration is complete, we just saved the orchestration, and we have something called as verify tab over here. You can see. So we need to click on that verify tab. Once we click on that verify tab, there's an option wherein you can start your orchestration. So this green triangle, if you click on this green triangle, it will start the orchestration. So the orchestration is started now. And now since we have the HTTP receive request as an input activity, we need to send it via the via some HTTP request. So we will use the HTTP post utility that is offered by Westware Fastan. So you need to click on this tools, and in tools it provides you this HTTP post utility. So we click on that, and here we provide the HTTP URL that we had used while configuring the HTTP receive request activity. We will provide the same port number that was used and the URL. So that was HTTP send. We will select the method type as post. And over here we are passing the file name. So customers.csv was the file name. Okay. The file name is passed, and you can see over here we have received the reply from the create objects activity. So it says that success is true, and it has also passed us the ID. So this is the ID of the object that has been created at the Salesforce side. And the status is true. So status is success is true, meaning the object is created successfully on the Salesforce side. So this is the response XML that is returned by the orchestration. Okay, this concludes our demo that I wanted to show you, basically an end-to-end flow of how things work, how we use different endpoints. So moving back to the...
Did you want to do your summary, Vinod?
Yeah. So basically in the presentation we saw in what all scenarios you can use Kasten and how it adds value to your integration scenarios, and what are the different form factors that Kasten provides, the physical appliance, the virtual appliance, and the Kasten Life. So and how based on your requirement and your need you can choose your corresponding form factor. We also saw how Kastan provides the pre-built template called as TIPS, and it will fasten up your integration project using existing build TIPS. And then we saw the end-to-end demonstration of the flow of how on-premise comma-separated values file that is located at a FTP server data was synchronized with a or was used to create a object on a Salesforce site. So this is what we covered in our presentation till now. Yeah, moving to slide number 14. So this is some of the reference material that we have. So I may not have covered everything about Kastan. There are many more details that are there about different endpoints and how they can be used and what is the exact steps that you should follow while performing operations and how you should be providing your for example third-party libraries that are required for Kastan connector Kastan endpoint to connect to. So all these different steps are available in the Kastan Info Center. So the link to the Info Center is available on slide number 14. And we also have links to these Kastan support pages. So many a times you may have some you may require some support information, and that is available in the Kastan support pages. We also have community forums. So if you have any particular question about how a particular activity should be used, since Kastan provides lot of data transformation activities as well, and along with the data integration, so you can post your question to the to this developer work forum, and we the development and the support team also frequently monitor the support forum, so we can directly reply to your question on the support forum. So there won't be a need for you to open a PMR or so. Your questions will get replied on this forum as well. And also we have got the Twitter account for the Kastan system. So recent updates about new fixed pack or new feature pack or any main release or any of the interim fixes or hot fixes that have been given can be found on the are conveyed in this Twitter handle for the Kastan. So you can also follow this Twitter handle to get the latest news for the Kastan systems. Moving on to next slide. So this slide is basically for customers who are on who generally do follow our WST webcast, WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcast. So it contains a link towards our already recorded presentation. So all the sessions, including this current one, we put up the recordings on the webcast on this website. So you can visit this location to get the recordings of the already held presentation. So if you are not able to attend a particular presentation, you can always get the recording and the presentation from this location. And there are other links to the, for example, to the Global WebSphere community. So this group, you will find users interacting with each other on different WebSphere questions and topics. And similarly, we have other links. For example, if you want to receive the weekly notification, you have the link over there. So you can enroll there and you will receive this notification. So all the different links regarding the WebSphere domain is there. So if you work primarily in the WebSphere domain, you can make use of this already available.
Does this conclude your presentation?
Yes, if you have any questions.
And there are no questions. This time we will conclude the presentation.